Our gospel story today comes to us from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. The story of Thomas is always assigned for the second Sunday in the season of Easter. In another year, I might be reflecting on the way that our senses shape our worldview, or how doubt is a form of hope, or the fact that resurrection doesn't come without scars, or the fact that it's not really fair to call Thomas Doubting Thomas when perfectly reasonable questions Thomas seems more accurate, to reference a sermon my friend Kevin once gave on the story. But of course, we are not living in another year. We are living in this year. And boy, has this been a weird year so far. And what has stuck out to me this year as I've been reading this story is that the disciples were together in a house with locked doors, afraid of what might happen if they went outside and got too close to the wrong people. Because it was dangerous for them outside. The danger facing Jesus's friends wasn't a virus, but it was deadly all the same. All but one of the original disciples died violent deaths. Only John lived to die of old age. So it was entirely reasonable that these men would lock their doors and hide away. After all, it was only days ago that their leader was executed by the state. They might very well have been next. The dangers facing us outside are harder to see than Roman guards carrying spears. But I think that we might be more sympathetic right now to the men waiting in the house with their doors locked, unsure when it might be safe to go out again, unsure what to do in the meantime, unsure what the world might look like when they unlocked the doors. At least they had each other. In their raw grief, maybe they sat on the floor in a big circle, sharing stories about Jesus, whom they had seen die only a few days ago. Maybe none of them could find the words to express what they were feeling, and so they all waited in silence. Maybe they spent their time in desperate prayer. But even though the doors were locked, and even though the curtains were drawn, and even though the house was full of fear, and even though the men had seen him die and be buried, Jesus still came to them. Even though they didn't leave the house, even though they didn't go to the temple, even though they weren't out teaching or healing or making new disciples, Jesus still came to them. Even though they felt abandoned, Jesus still came to them. And Jesus still comes to us. Jesus still comes to us when we are sheltered in place, or fighting for breath in a hospital ward, or making deliveries in a thick face mask, or pipetting into vials in a research laboratory, or crying in the shower so the kids don't hear, or anxiously waiting for a stimulus check to come through. Jesus still comes to us, even though the church doors are closed, even though the organ is silent, even though school is canceled. Jesus still comes to us, no matter what our circumstances are. The psalmist sings to God, "You do not give me up." And we can echo that confidence when we echo the words of the men in the locked room who said to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord."